Welcome to AE Double Back for October 14th, 2020. It's the 1 year anniversary show of AEW Dynamite. And there's so much happening, so many things. And I was disappointed by all of it.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was expecting, but you know, what can you expect?
Yeah, I just like right off the bat, okay, fine. You had four title matches. I feel like when you have that many title matches, four or above, yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. That seems a threshold. If you have three title matches and nothing change hands, that's fine. Four and above, you need at least one title change. Otherwise, why? What does even matter?
Well, yeah. one title did get snatched and then double snatched during the course of a match before.
Rude. That's disgusting. They're called vaginas. Don't be a jerk about this.
Is that not allyship?
I'm pretty sure I was the one that was being very bad ally.
yeah, there was that, but it wasn't really, you know.
It was an informal, yeah.
That being said, I think it's mostly thumbs up for me for the whole show. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know.
Me no no. Who knows? Well, so we start with a decent match: Best Friends versus FTR. You know, nothing too different there. It's a decent match. Trent got thrown through an 80s arcade game. This was Kip Sabian and Moreau's game that they were even playing last week.
loved it so much they brought it to the venue from wherever it was they were at.
Mm-hmm. Am I mistaken? Was that an empty cabinet that didn't even have a screen in it?
It was pretty fucking empty. They had a circuit board.
Yeah, they did have the joystick chunk of it.
Yeah,
which got called out. What? Oh dang it! I looked it up when Excalibur named the kind of buttons there were, and I was like, is that a real thing? And I looked it up, like, oh yeah, that's actually a real thing. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fine. It was weird. It was fine. I think the second part I want to combine with the second match.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, this was just a straight-up tag match. A good tag match to start out the show, like, you know, any other regular Dynamite, and it was fine. I gave it a thumbs up because, you know, it was good. Best Friends, FTR, they fought.
Yeah,
FTR won.
Yeah.
The FTR matches are starting to get a little boring in that, like, they always end the same way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the problem with this setup is, like, it really takes a lot of creativity to keep the thing going where you only win because your manager interferes. I'd just like to see him, like, mix it up a little bit more. Like, sure, totally can interfere still, but, like, come up with a new way to do it because this is starting to get boring.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was very samey and truly, like, nothing in it was especially bad, but it just was not – I don't know. It was not big enough for being the same or different enough for not being so big. And even though, like, the arcade game part of it was unexpected and interesting, but if they would have used a real arcade machine or if something else would have happened with that would have been really cool. But like I'm as generous this episode as I normally am. Like I'm giving a lot of non thumbs up, I feel like, tonight or will, but this is really a middle for me.
This was a middle for me as well. You know, it was fine, but it is, the end is boring, it's predictable. I mean, I know there isn't going to be a title change, and it's not that the match itself was like terrible, because it's what you expect from best friends and it's what you expect from FTR. But yeah, it was just boring. Kind of. I mean, not, I don't know.
Am I the ray of fucking sunshine this week?
You seem to be.
Is that my role? All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was just not, boy, like, there are, like, in relatively recent memory, there have been some significantly better matches for both of these teams. And it's
true.
It just is hard to be super generous to this particular one, partly because of that. I mean, honestly, if they would have granted the arcade game more verisimilitude than would have happened in a porno movie, like, you know, like where people are playing video games, I mean, I'd instantly like upgrade it if like electronics actually sparked around and stuff, if something like that.
You can name me one difference between pro wrestling and hardcore pornography other than actual showing of genitals, I will give you a dollar, sir. There's no description you can give of, like, hot, sweaty people, check. Like, a lot of heavy grunting, check. Like, real stiff wooden acting, check. There's nothing that you can throw at either porn or pro wrestling that is not present in the other.
No, that's really what I'm saying, is that unfortunately that's true.
So, this is an aside.
I like an aside.
Hunting something. I, for some reason, have a ton of crickets.
Ooh.
Yeah, I get crickets in my apartment for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know how the hell they get in. But
you probably did. You feed one once.
You know, one followed me home, and I was like, "Mom." Well, so my cat, though, this week has been just like living her best life at night.
Oh man! Wait, of like playing with them or eating
she
them
follows
or
them both. I mean, she's not playing. She's chasing, hunting, and trying to
she's
eat them.
She's a professional, Calder. Yeah. Don't diminish the work that she does.
Yeah. Brutally, like, what a big macho cat putting down some little crickets.
Hey, man, you know, more power to her. She's a big, fat ball. I'm happy for her. And she has no claws, so good for her. For catching these things with just the meats of her paws.
Man, these crickets are really getting clowned here.
Yeah.
How many fucking crickets have you gacked in your day, Calder? Not very many. Probably less than that cat. So
look, if
don't
I,
you go walking around like you're some fancy pants hotshot.
If I was going around calling myself a professional.
Honestly, that would make it.
I'm kidding.
Great business card. It's like Calder Holbrook, professional cricket murderer.
Assassin, please.
No, professional grasshopper assassin.
Grassassin.
Oh, that's a good one. So the next bit of this segment, because it does sort of come together, is that, okay, so FTR wins, but best friends still hang out in the ring for a sec, sort of gathering themselves. And Moreau and Kip Sabian come out and they start going nuts. Like, Moreau's beating the shit out of them because the game is broken, even though it's not their fault. They got thrown through the game. They didn't choose to go through the game.
And Kip Sabian should not have had his full-sized arcade game that close to the ringside as well.
I mean, it really is asking for trouble.
Like, look at you victim blaming. No, I'm disgusted.
Not only is it like, you know, that he kind of brought that damage on himself, but also playing video games like is disrespectful to the professionals in the ring that are applying their trade. Like, everyone else was paying attention, And like Kip Sabian was not like glancing at his phone, not scrolling around on a tablet. He was playing a full a full sized fake like arcade game. Like that's rude.
Yeah, it was a big ass chunky arcade game. So they start going nuts. Because Penelope Ford, by the way, she was the one that tipped them off. But anyways, that's besides the point.
That was a slow burn of of Penelope Ford getting sent somewhere to do something like relatively early on. And finally the payoff emerges. She's gone to get Miro. Miro's not answering his phone.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything could be solved with text messages anymore. Like no TV show. Actually, nowadays whatever. I'm not talking right. I'm going to stop talking.
Look.
Okay. So the next match, which bleeds right into it, is Kip Sabian and Moreau versus Johnson and Maluda.
Lee Johnson and Sean Maluda.
So we finally get to see a match with Sabian and Moreau, which I was happy about that because we hadn't seen that yet. There's been some talk about being a best man, but you know, that's not why we're here.
The
best man. Did they not have a tag match already? I thought they did.
Did they?
I thought they did. I thought I remember.
I think they did have one, and it was similar. And it was fine. It was exactly this. You know, it's like squashing somebody. And great. These guys are badass. Let's move on.
Yeah. No, it was definitely something a person could kind of forget because it was definitely also a squash. Okay. But this was a good squash, I thought. I thought this was like a, you know, not an escalation of anything, but nonetheless, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And then just like a real quick promo afterwards. Miro's like, good friends, you break my shit, game over. Love it. That's what he should be doing. And this was all fantastic.
Yeah, he's definitely killing it right now. Like I couldn't be more excited. And this was definitely, you know, it's unfortunate that this is kind of like one of the highlight segments of the show for being so brief, but it kind of was. And I don't know, I'm not so sorry for that exactly. No.
you definitely need brief segments that are you get in and get out, that tell a quick, simple, you know, one hit story. Mm-hmm. And you go like, whoa, that was crazy. Look, he threw him through a thing, or like, oh, he punched him so hard his penis fell off, you know. It's like just like a quick hit and then go. That's great.
I'm so quick to rush to a penis fell off.
Well, you know, that's the first thing that happens.
I mean, look, you have your weird nightmares. I have mine. You know, your particular fears of whatever, like your teeth fall out or your penis falls off. That's totally normal.
What is that? Yeah.
Leave me and my Dr. Freud business alone.
What is that supposed to be, about stress or something?
Sure. I thumbs this up because, it was short and great.
Yeah, I definitely also thumbed it up because it was fun and it was short. Also, yeah, same thing. Nothing fell off, and that's always box number one.
Because of the situation right before, it provided Moreau with some sort of emotional starting off point, which he hadn't had before, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a better kind of way to get him riled up. And, you know, using extreme force against, you know, people that he doesn't have a storyline with or anything yet.
Well, he did have the emotional, like, starting point previously of wishing to be Amish.
Oh, yeah, the Rumspringa.
It's good when you have somebody doing comedy to also show them turning it up in the ring.
Yeah.
You want both of those things, because if they can only do comedy, like Orange Cassidy would be hamstrung right now if he couldn't also do some fun stuff in the ring.
No, I mean, Miro is definitely very good at both. I don't think there's any question of that. He's exceptionally convincing, like with his like emotional like bearing and his physicality. So he certainly is not going to have an issue with that. I mean, short of something falling off his body that is going to like really like undercut his like aggression, that would be the only thing that'll hurt him.
Calder, the testosterone hormone is not produced in the penis, all right? I'm sorry that you're not up on your male anatomy, but that's not how this works.
No, it's not about the testosterone. Like, that's just a thing that everybody's going to be able to say, like that's going to make you be like, you know what, you're right. I'm going to back down right now. Like, oh, you're right, I don't have a penis. I guess you win.
In Justice League, is it Justice League 3000? It's like there's like that future Justice League. There is a superhero whose name is Arms Fall Off Boy.
What?
It's a superhero, and his superpower is his arms fall off.
No.
So don't you come to me and tell me that it isn't a marketable gimmick that a dude gets punched so hard that his penis falls off, and he does that every. We've seen a match with a guy whose gimmick is like, I don't care. Punch a dude into a vat of mimosas.
Sure.
So don't tell me that penis fall off guy isn't a marketable gimmick.
Are you intimating he would recover the penis over and over again?
No.
Well, I don't know.
Well, anyways, I thumbs it up.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah. Unanimous. That's alarming.
And then there was that segment that, like, I don't think we should rate because it's just sort of like a little plot point that Archer is, like, beating the crap out of Mox before their match tonight. And you're like, okay, that's fine. That is what it is. That's part of Mox's thing, which is that he's not a superhero, which I think is fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. He always comes in sort of like, you know, the underdog, even though he's had this belt for a year. It's always, you know, like something. He gets crap kicked out of him, or he's injured from some other thing. I was like, I can still do this, guys.
No, he's the scrappy underdog who will resort to stabbing. I do want to say that I appreciated that this segment like began, as they say in the biz, in media res. Immediately, like, we see Moxley getting beat around the hallway, and I enjoyed that it was like suddenly happening and over relatively quickly, so that it couldn't have been a more efficient like segment as far as that went. So that was nice.
It did seem weird that the guy in the background, I couldn't tell if he was a wardrobe or crafty or whatever, but he was just like sort of standing there like waiting for his cue, and just standing there. And then when Mox gets thrown on the table, he's like, okay, now hold on there. You need to, oh, I've been struck. I have fallen down.
It was a mix of experience levels. and of mask adherence.
Yeah.
Some of them just don't feel like it anymore, man.
Yeah. I'm gonna not wear my mask. I'm going to half-heartedly and ham-fistedly perform my part in this segment, and then I'm going to go eat at a restaurant, and I'm not going to tip that generously, and that's what I'm going to do.
All right. Now, let's not get slanderous here. I was just saying that he didn't perform the greatest. I'm not saying he's a monster and deserves to be shot in the streets like a dog.
I don't know. I'm just extrapolating from like not wearing a mask.
Fair.
So many leaps of logic.
Look, you know, I not to brag, but I'm pretty good at it.
Well, then, so if we're skipping that bit, then let's go into a real fun bit.
I assume we're not going to do the world title like promo bit, like or wrap that in with the later segment.
Meh.
Whatever. Whatever, man.
We'll play it fast and loose because there are no rules here, man. We're like friggin' Outback.
Oh man,
no rules, just civil rights.
Just blooming onions.
Just yeah, just yeah. That's all I know.
Okay, so then we move on to MJF. He calls out Chris Jericho to come out on stage. Now, first of all, Moreau earlier said something about, you know, something about, he said the word shit.
Yeah.
You know, this is some bullshit or something. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. That was the one count.
Oh, you break my shit. That's what
oh, yeah.
Like, you
good
break
friends,
my
you
shit.
Break my shit. Game over.
Yeah. And so then when Jericho comes out, he says, cut the shit.
Shit number two.
Shit number two.
It is. Shit. They've used up their shits for the night.
I was going to say, those were like one right after the other. They're now stuck with
that's bold.
Just regular language.
You know, yeah. It's like that's the strategy you're rolling with. You're banking on not needing them later. And that's a risk.
You give your shits to your moneymakers. And if you've booked them all early on in the show, well, then that's just how it is.
True. Well, so then basically MJF tries really hard and finally works up.
Nope. You don't start there. You start with the jacket he gave to Sammy Guevara.
This is the true beginning of the story.
Okay. That bit, like, it's, yeah, it's just silly and dumb. And you know, he's like, put on the jacket. I'm like, oh, this jacket is terrible, isn't it? At first I thought, I was like, it's got his name on it and spelled wrong or something like that. Gubara or something like that. But then the more they went on, I was like, oh, it's going to be a big jacket. It's going to be a big jacket. Oh, put on the big jacket, please. Oh, it's so big. It's so big. This is such a silly bit, and I love it.
Like, this was something that was so good for this segment was the palpable, unignorable lack of enthusiasm for MJF in the entire inner circle outside of Jericho. And that was really enjoyable. Like, it's especially... I'm certainly enjoying Sammy Guevara repeatedly like getting this inexplicable like snub from MJF, but like the whole thing, like every time you would look to to any of the inner circle, they would they'd be giving that unmistakable head shake of like, oh, this fucking guy. It was a good segment that helped it a lot for sure. But yeah, like they,
it is how you say delicious.
Yeah, very, very much.
Then MJF basically is hemming and hawing and finally works up the courage to ask to join the inner circle. Which, everyone's like, finally, yay. Except for, of course, everybody else in the inner circle. But Jericho, it's so funny the way that they talk. Because he's like, well, guess what? I want to meet up you. Just me and you next week. Steak dinner. You know, so like the way they built that up was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the same type of fight language, but...
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
the posturing was so huge.
It was fun. So yeah, they're gonna go out for a steak dinner next week.
This is such a strange way to build to a fight, but also yeah, it's real hard to sell tickets to a heel versus heel fight, because like. We want to hear them talk because they're both great talkers and they both shit talk and like, but then like, what do you do? Like, you can't actually like root for either of these guys. A wrestling match has to have one person that you want to win.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise it's real hard, real muddy. So like creating this dynamic, is, I mean, probably not completely untraveled territory, but
it's real rare. It's real rare that you see a heel versus heel match to begin with, but then to like build to a big ticket match with two heels. Like, I can't think of a time that that's happened in the past. So like either they're planning on turning somebody face, which might be MJF, but that's a horrible idea, or they're trying this new thing, which I'm fascinated by, and I'm so excited to see, you know, an eventual match.
I mean, if anyone can do it, these two guys can do it.
Oh yeah, I really do have faith.
Yeah.
It's so far just like the greatest thing ever. Just these two together talking. I mean, I don't need anything else.
Like there were a couple.
I hate Animal Planet. Come on.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
That was pretty. Like no explanation needed. No explanation desired. Leave it there. Mm-hmm.
We all know why. We all know what they did.
And the other thing that I really enjoyed was MJF talking about Jericho watching his television.
Yes. Oh my god.
Had to do it.
The bit.
It was great. I wish that Jericho would have been on commentary at some point. That's all that he could have done more for the episode.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Then we have Dr. Britt Baker and Tony Schiavone at the spa.
Brilliant.
You guys talk about it.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay, well, I'm just going to preface it with saying that I gave this a thumbs up because as much as I've been like enjoying Britt Baker a year ago, like when the show started, she was not good on the mic. I watched her. I'm like, I see what you're doing. I'm not interested. I'm not drawn in at all. And to see her today put out a legitimately straight up strong promo, you know, amidst this tomfoolery of like, we're doing this in a salon and ripping off a 40-year-old virgin and, you know, like doing the silly bit with the easel, you know, like in this tiny room and like, oh my God, Shivani, you're naked, you know, like, All of these bits were, you know, like silly and dumb, but similar to Jericho and MJF, like all of a sudden they just turned a corner and like cut, you know, like a really hard hitting promo. I was like, fucking great. I love this. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I also like. I enjoyed this segment. I enjoy it any time that Tony Schiavone like falls into this like quasi friend bullying victim hostage. when Britt Baker is calling him out about not. Like he's, you know, he's like, well, I got super kicked in the face by the Young Bucks. Like, not a valid excuse. It was, and yeah, like she, I thought, and I always liked her. I liked her at the start of the whole conspiracy thing that was going on, and maybe
I'm talking pre that.
Yeah.
Although even at that point, she was doing good work.
It's yeah. Good. Like it was certainly improving at that point, but the stuff she was doing in this segment, when she's on her back and like her eyes are covered and she's just telling a story with hands that are not connected to like the rest of like what's going on. Like, I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Now that we've said our piece.
Well, I don't have like a ton to say, but I will say that I just
go with your gut, go with your heart.
I mean,
what does your heart feel?
I don't like it. It's like, you know, it's fine. Okay. It's another way to have a promotion that's different, you know, with that, I get it. Like they're just, you know, pulling ideas out of a hat and going with it. And, you know, that's fine. But just...
There's nothing wrong with, like, somebody not clicking for you. Especially, yeah. like, back in the day, I hated the honky-tonk man. And looking back on it now, I'm like, my goodness, that dude was real good. Like, his job was to get you to hate him. And I can, like, look back and, like, see how he did it. Like, the tools he employed. I was like, that is an excellent craftsman.
I mean, it's no mystery to me what part of the honky-tonk man you disliked. It was the honky.
It was that he was cool, he was cocky, and he was bad. And I did not care for any of those things. yes, like, some people just rub you the wrong way, and it doesn't hit like it's, you know, like, it's not the entertaining heel, you know, the sort of vibe that you might want. It just, like, you're just like, oh, just get off my TV. And and there's nothing wrong with that.
Her bits are always really longer than others. When they're short, I'm like, okay, fine. But they give her a lot of time. And the thing is that they give their female performers almost zero time. So the fact that they waste constantly so much time on her bit, that go nowhere, really. They don't do a lot other than, I mean, it's self-promotion, great, but we're not seeing any performance. We're not seeing, you know, it doesn't get other people over. It's nothing like that. And so it really just bugs me. This could lead into a little heels review, but we could save that for later if you want.
Oh, dang, you did do it?
Okay. I tried.
Intriguing.
Let's get into it.
Let's do this.
Because, okay, I have tried many times, including right now, to constantly buy this subscription. And I add it to my cart and I continue to purchase, and it just constantly spins and spins and spins. It never takes me or allows me to purchase, which then I started asking myself, does this even exist anymore?
Did it ever exist? You know,
did they promote it heavily without really having anything to offer? Because from then I did a lot of research on it, and it turns out it's not much more than just, like, you know, a Zoom meeting.
Okay.
That if you're getting, like, maybe a conference with other people or whatever, they don't have a lot to offer. And some of the reviews of such of a thing is like, how are you going to offer someone more when you haven't given them anything in the first place? Which I'm like, that's true. That's the whole reason why I'm even pretending to try and join or actually join. Is because I want to know, well, what the fuck am I missing that you're not giving me? Because I haven't gotten shit yet from your female performers. Even though you have a decent roster and you can pull in independents anytime, as we've seen with the male performers, right? Mm. They have no problem giving male independent performers tons of time, or set them up in, like, a, you know, even if it's a squash match, but it's a fun squash.
Don't forget Thunder Rosa.
They do. But then let's look at some of these other people that they could use. Abaddon, she would be great for small segments here and there, right? You only have, like, time for 5 minutes. Fuck it. Throw her in there. They could have, there's a lot of different performers that we just don't see. Nyla Rose is one of the only, that I'm aware of, she's the only female trans performer. And heels, the fact that it's an image of heels, just these shoes, girls in shoes, and it's these high heels. Look, it doesn't tell you. It looks like a fucking DSW shoe fucking ad, you know what I mean?
Shoe warehouse.
You know what I mean?
What's DSW?
It's some shoe thing. I don't know.
It's on Sunset. It's by the IHOP. Designer Shoe Warehouse.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I must have seen that.
The deals are not great.
Okay.
I will say, I've been in there once.
But, like, you know, there's that. And then the fact that alienates a lot of people that already don't feel like they have a place within wrestling, that have carved out a place for themselves online via Twitter and stuff to be visible amongst each other and like, hey, cool. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of women that like this. There's a lot of trans and non-binary people that like wrestling. Why have it so like gendered is really weird. And then to have it sexualized and ultra feminized is additionally weird. But then, I guess the promo, some of the promo shoots of Brandi Rhodes promoting this before it was launched was her in a bikini. And I'm like, again, wrong fucking message. What the fuck are we what are we uplifting? What exactly are we telling each other here? So, and then it's $50, which is a lot of money to just not even know what the fuck there is in the first place. And, you know, then I was with that. There's a lot of research on the different performers. And here you have Sheeta, who has no storyline. And that's totally unacceptable. It's a champion without a fucking storyline. And then you have the champion in the audience all the time. Like, why? Because they don't know what to do with her, or they don't want to give female performers any time. So they just instead put her in the audience and then have a close up of her once in a while. Like, it's just so odd. And like, she did some promo, an English promo at some event. And like, she commented later about how she's really nervous. And it's like this period of time during, you know, lockdown, and it was like these performers in a bubble there in Florida, was a perfect time to give her the opportunity to talk more and do more promos amongst, you know, the people there are other performers, you know, so it's a very kind of safe, clean place to do it and to get those training wheels off. But they totally squandered that time. And I did note tonight she did have like more expressions, to which I'm like, yay, maybe she is taking acting classes or something. I don't know. But like, it's such an afterthought. It's a no thought towards their female performers. And they've had a year now, and they haven't had any real huge names come over from AE or from WWE, you know, that would maybe bring a big fan base, but that doesn't mean they didn't have time to build one. And that doesn't mean they didn't have the performers that they could use. They just choose not to use them. So this whole thing is a giant thumbs down. The heels, the fact that I can't even buy it as many times as I try to, the fact that in fact, it is trying to promote something that, like, trying to get you to buy something they don't already offer you, which is like just more female stuff. It doesn't have to be a safe space. Safe space for what, you know? And then to charge women something that men get for free all the time is weird. When men are the ones that, let's just say it, they have more money, they make more money, they have more social capital. So like, why, you know what I mean? I don't know. The whole, And then you have pay gaps among gender lines and amongst, you know, sexual orientation lines and binary, all that kind of stuff. It's you're punishing people for wanting to, and I guess somebody made a comparison, somebody in one of the things I read, because I had nothing, I couldn't buy it, so I had to do all this research. And so some of that research was, what happened to Wings? That was a giant flop. You should have learned your lesson from that.
The NBC sitcom?
No.
That was a big success.
How dare you besmirch Tim Daly's good name?
It was, let's see. Hold on. Now I'm trying to find that article. I just closed that window because I'm an idiot. Because I thought, oh, I just got through all my talking points, I can put this away. No. It was a, basically it was something it was like another wrestling group, but basically the people that ended up being able to afford it, it just like pushed out all the regular observers and watchers. And like, you just had to be like some regular rich person or somebody with some money to spend on some kind of subscription like that. I can't remember, but anyways, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. So that's my bit on that.
Well, it's hard to argue with any of that. Like, I didn't like what I was hearing about heels kind of to begin with. And, you know, whatever excuses could have been made for them in the women's division. Increasingly, it's like none of that is feeling very valid. It just feels like they're playing, failing to try. Like you say, it's, and that's unfortunate for how, for how well they do every place else simply by making the effort and allotting the time. And it sucks.
Absolutely.
I do think that, because one thing I think they do well is they don't bring up people, you know, from their developmental, you know, air quotes, to the main stage early, which is a thing that you see a lot. WWE does that a lot of times. They'll, you know, bring someone up from NXT and then just freaking bury him. Or sometimes they'll bring him up and they just aren't ready. And, you know, like they can't connect and, you know, then they're done. You know, you just got to send them off and try again, maybe in 10 years. So, like, I feel like the people that are doing dark and are, you know, are like working their way up aren't being pulled up because they aren't ready, and that they're going to wait until they're ready so that they are successful. I think Big Swole is successful now. Like, she might not have been if they had pulled her up, you know, it was like a few months earlier. It is a shame that, they don't bring in more independent talent, and I don't know why that is. I'm hoping it's not because they're terrible people, but or like there's like some misogyny that is gone unexamined. It's probably that. It probably is. I was really hoping, and maybe we should like sick our crack Twitter team on this and like you know, like say tag AEW is like, hey, what the fuck? Why is this not working? Because it seems ridiculous. Yeah, that is a bummer, and I hope it gets better.
And also, yeah. just like you know, at the most elemental and self motivated level, like AEW, take people's money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Take money that is held out to you.
Like, we're so ready to do this experiment, and then they just totally shit the bed. Anyway. All right, so moving on. So me, I gave it a thumbs down for the Britt Baker bit. You guys, whatever.
We saw that coming.
Next is Orange Cassidy versus Cody, who is blonde again for some reason. I guess he couldn't handle all the Twitter talk.
Oh, man.
So then the...
Oh, before that, during the picture in picture for the commercial, they showed a commercial. What the fuck is that about?
Yeah, I saw that too.
What, this is no. Like, I get it. Like, the person just came out and, you know, you timed that weird so that they had, this is the portion where they stand around in a ring, but I don't change the timing or have them do a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you just figure something out. You've only got to fill 90 seconds. Just have them, I don't know, go around giving high fives to people in the audience. Don't cut to a goddamn promo.
I kind of appreciate the meta quality of it, though.
Orange Cassidy versus Cody. You know, it's what you expect from these two performers. It was, you know, pretty all out, pretty gnarly. there were, you know, the Dark Order tried to steal a belt for a minute, just run around. Darby Allin was looking menacing.
Looking
menacing is not the word I quite would have.
I don't know.
He was looking. It feels like the perfect thing to be like, well, like the action is going on down in the ring and way up high listening to The Cure, like writing like sad poetry. Darby Allin off on his own, I enjoyed that. Although, like, it's always like, well, when they're up in the balcony, nothing's gonna happen, so like, who cares? But nonetheless,
you never know. Someone could have run in and smacked him with a chair.
like Darby Allin would be the person that would leap all the way down from there. So I guess anything could happen. he really would.
I do want to give a special shout out to John Silver, who is doing such great work for the Dark Order, and I love seeing him whenever he pops up.
Oh, he's great.
More of that.
He and Reynolds are going to be together in the tournament. Like, so that'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a tag team from the Indies, so that's, yeah, they already know each other well, and that's good. I'm a fan of that.
It was so weird. Like, Cody did the corner pole thing on Orange Cassidy's leg, and nobody liked it. And then he did some push-ups for some reason.
Well, it's for fitness.
Yeah. You ever heard of exercise, Teresa?
What the fuck are you doing that in the ring for?
When you don't get your work done, when you're supposed to, a taskmaster like Arn Anderson is, you know, you're gonna do it when you do it.
I mean, it was just so bizarre. And then, that was odd. Orange started doing some more of the slow stuff here and there. That was funny. Gotta love that. I got real pissed off because it was a draw. Because they just timed out. And I'm like, you're not even going to give us a belt change or some sort of legitimate win here.
Is one of the characteristics of the TV title that I do like. I think it is good to... because usually you have things like DQs so that the good guy doesn't like look like an idiot because he just lost and he's just not as good. You know, there's some reason why they couldn't win. And this, like, Orange Cassidy doesn't have any shine taken off him because, like, oh, he would have done it if we just had one more second. And so, like, it's a different kind of ending that still gets the same result of, like, he doesn't become champion, but he still gets to, you know.
I mean, I get it. I just, I don't know. It's so deflating.
that's part of the rainbow of sports is like sometimes nobody wins.
Wait a minute, there's a sports rainbow?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's the University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense. Yeah.
I think they're just called the Warriors now. They used to be the Rainbow Warriors anyway.
Oh, I would much rather have Rainbow Warriors.
No, yeah. And, you know, considering they've never been very good, like they at least had something. C'est la vie. That's Hawaiian.
I will say that I do like Orange Cassidy, but he's not real fun to watch in these longer matches because you kind of need that sort of like dynamism in the match of like, going slow, bang, 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 and then like, you know, like a lot of energy, sort of get you picked back up, and then we slow it back down. And with Orange Cassidy, you don't get that as much because that's part of the character. And in a shorter match, it's still fun and enjoyable. But the, you know, this a 20-minute match, it can get real boring in parts. So
what
I'm not the biggest fan of that.
It better is it when the being slow irritates the other
yeah.
person.
Yeah, there's no
and
doubt.
So with
yeah.
Jericho, it was perfect because it just pissed him off to no end.
just look at him.
yeah. exactly. So, you know, I admitted it.
I did as well.
Yeah, really? Yeah. This was one I gave an up to. Like, I appreciated that like one of the matches went to the draw. I felt like that did what it was supposed to. And I don't know, there was lots of stuff going on. I felt like there was strong action between Cody and Orange. And I think I also just like the match better once I realized that what was on Cody wasn't an expansion of the tattoo I already didn't like. It was actually kinesio tape, and I was like, oh, thank God.
I also had that same concern. So
yes. Like, dear Lord, it's taken over his back. Oh no. I liked it.
Okay. So then we have, just as earlier, we didn't rate the whole thing with Murder Hawk hurting Moxley. Well, now Murder Hawk and Jake the Snake are in an interview, and Moxley interrupts and starts beating him up. So just for posterity, I'm throwing that in there.
The yang to the original yin, balance is restored in the universe.
Yeah, so now that is a total bookend. Matt Hardy, we see him in the audience. He's been officially cleared, and he's all happy about that. He's there with his family. Then there's a video of someone burning his pictures.
Real quick, have you seen the pictures of Matt wrestling with those kids?
No.
He's got his own ring, obviously, at home. And so, like, he's, like, wrestled with them, like, have them done moves on him and, you know, that sort of thing. It's adorable.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. Just, yeah, Google that. Look at it. Just enjoy that. It's magical.
Is it as good as Puppy Mania?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, it is.
Interesting.
Mm.
So he's, someone's burning his pictures, and then we find out it is, Sammy Guevara.
Dun, dun, dun.
Fucking just shithead kid. Anyways, I thumbs up it because it's Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he'll be, you know, performing again.
Yeah. Same. I thought it's real simple and pretty quick too. I want to see that match. Let's do it.
Speaking of Googling pictures of Matt and his kids, have you seen him as Damascus with his children?
Oh, no.
That shit's real cute.
Sounds pretty good.
It's fucking great. okay. So then we've got,
thumbed it.
You haven't
middled it yet. And now I am middling it. Just because I don't know, like the Matt Hardy with his family stuff kind of was not amazing to me. It was fine, I guess. And then not that Sammy is so bad, but I guess, like, for different reasons, I didn't really enjoy like what's going on with Sammy, because like, one, like, I'm already like thinking about Sammy. I don't know. Like there are two different Sammy things going on right now, which is a lot for me.
It is a lot of Sammy
in one Sammy like thread. He's repeatedly like getting rubbed the wrong way by MJF snubs. In the other, he's attacking and persecuting Matt Hardy, and so it just is weird that the two of them are coexisting. And I just really want to see like Sammy repeatedly get the short end for a while right now. Like, that's what I want. So like him being like what he was being in this segment was less fun for me personally. It was okay, I guess. But
I mean, I really, Matt Hardy is what boosted it for me, because I don't want to see a long drawn out storyline with Sammy either, because I don't like him. That's plain and simple.
Fair enough.
But,
yeah. Like there was a time when I liked him better than I like him right now. It helps if they show some self-awareness about that and let that inform what they do with him. So I don't know. Like, the other thing felt better to me somehow than this one does. It was executed okay, so I middled it.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Done.
We have now, there's going to be a match next week, a 4 tag team match. And so they were drawing names to see who's going to be the ones performing.
Yeah.
And those names are Private Party, Silver and Reynolds from Dark Order, Butcher and the Blade, and the Young Bucks. And naturally, having all those groups out on stage was an issue, and there was a melee that broke out.
It's unfortunate. So,
yeah.
Who would have expected that?
Play with fire, you get burned. What'd you say?
No, nothing.
Oh.
Carry on.
Well, anyways, I don't even know if this deserves a thumb.
Yeah, I mean,
it was
long enough that it deserves a thumb.
It's a segment.
I do like Shivani's face, like when he hears that it's the Young Bucks, and like, you know, like, yep, well, we know that he hates the Young Bucks because, you know, they super kicked him for no goddamn reason, and he's like, bleh, and that's fun to me. I don't know why.
That was a lot of fun.
Good schmacting.
That was fun. It was fine. Like, I don't think it was especially entertaining in and of itself outside of that one thing, but I guess I was thinking, like, it would be weird to say, like, I really hate the box of a box of cereal because it tastes terrible. I don't know. Like, you have to find out who's in the match somehow, I guess. Could have been more fun than it was. It was fine. So I middle it.
Okay.
Gosh, I realized that, I guess I also middle it. It was, there was nothing unexpected, which is, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, some stuff is just supposed to be what it is. It was. I feel like they. I gave them props a week or two ago for their brawls, saying like I think they do them real well. And this one was. It was what it was. They were all there, and they did some stuff, and then we moved on. And it didn't make me want to watch this match anymore. Although I do like this jerky Young Bucks. I like them a lot better than I have previously. So I kind of want to give it a thumbs up, but I will drop in the middle because,
the Young Bucks are looking like are cool right now with what they're doing. I guess, like, the thing that I'm thinking is just that in addition to the necessary, like, function of informing us, like, every team could have had a moment. Every team could have had like a signal, like distinct and separate from everyone else of like, this is what we're going to be about. This is what we're in it for. This is going to be our thing. And for the most part, it was like Butcher and the Blade. And sure enough, there they are. And the Young Bucks were the ones that kind of got to have their message, and then it didn't feel like the others especially had that. It was just like, yeah, I'm here. Here. So it was, I don't know, not what it might have been.
It does feel like it is servicing the Young Bucks, and you know, like, everybody is always, from the beginning, they were like, okay, you own the company, like you and Cody and all this. You're like, if any of the owners start feeling like they are putting themselves over, it's just kind of weird. So I think they have kept their foot off the gas for a long time. And I think, like, yeah, this is fine. They've laid back enough and, like, yeah, go ahead and put them into, like, a main event contention, like, even give them the belt kind of thing. I'm okay with that happening now. And I feel like that's kind of what this all is like, and here are the Young Bucks. They've been away for a while.
And I sure don't mind that being the ultimate outcome. That certainly should be what happens sooner or later. But, you know, that doesn't mean you can't, like, give the others something, especially considering you're trying to grant meaning to what the Young Bucks are going to do. So, you know, yeah, like, and they ordinarily do that well.
To be clear, I'm 100% in agreement with you.
Well, so, you know, it was again, like, adequate, but the like, everything might have been there to do a little bit better.
I want to down it, but I'm middling it.
No. What's
magnanimous?
I mean, I guess, like, I get that it truly was just, like, a setup for, again, showing the Young Bucks, you know, kicking somebody and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, that's fine. I guess I mean, they were just like, I don't know, we have to show these teens getting picked somehow. So let's just have them all come up after we pull the names from a hat. And I don't know, in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, there could be other ways to do it, like lotto balls or I don't know. But again,
here's Teresa constantly pissed that there are not a lot of balls in her face.
Oh boy.
You know me. So I don't know, I was just thinking of something else that would make it, like, a little more fun, like, and maybe they all, I don't fucking know. It's dumb for me to even care. So that's why I'm middling it, because it doesn't really, the whole thing didn't do anything for me as far as, like, I don't know. But it broke out in a melee, so it's like it lasted a little longer than maybe it should have. But, you know, I feel like it doesn't matter.
We're all saying exactly the same thing. But because it's so middle of the road, we're all just like trying to throw the dart at it and just kind of missing it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think we should all go around one more time.
Well, so there was that. But then we have a women's match with Big Swole versus Sheeta for the belt. It's a decent match. It's good to see Big Swole. I do see some improvement with Sheeta, which is cool, but she's still not the most exciting performer.
No.
Even though, and also, AEW is, like, selling her as, like, the most devastating striker. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Y'all have Nyla Rose Diamante and, like, fucking badass performers. Like, what are you talking about?
They were trying to put over that she was working the strength for strength with Big Swole. And I'm like, that's not what she's good at.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you have her work a style that she's not good at? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, continue to look not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good choice.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's kind of frustrating is what it is. Like I would, they should just crown Big Swole already.
And this was the point where I was like, okay, we've had two title belts. We're not going to change hands with Mox and Archer on this. So this is the one where you switch the belt
for sure.
And you know, maybe it's even a fluke, and Sheeta wins it back immediately next week. Let's just see some movement. And we got nothing, and that was the one I was both like, ugh,
that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Big Swole has had, like, this year she had a lot of, like, storyline happening. She's gotten exposure. She's obviously a good performer. She's got a fun personality. It'd be interesting to see where that could go if they ever gave their female performers any fucking time at all to have any sort of growth in the company.
Like if they did two matches a week so that this was truly a women's match instead of the women's match.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And, you know, it does become disappointing that, like, you have to then have beef or be somehow ancillary to Britt Baker in order to have any time within the company, because her assistant is also a wrestler, but they're not billing her as that, so she's just kind of useless in that role, you know, and being squandered in that sense. So anyways, you know, whatever. A bummer. So, but I gave it a thumbs up though, because I know, not because the match was the greatest, but because I was like, do I have to start like giving higher ratings to the only matches we get to see with female performers in order for them to start putting more in there? Because I know they listen to me. But also because I did see some improvement in certain areas for Sheeta, and I was happy to see Big Swole, but, you know, ultimately, and it still was a little disappointing. But
yeah, yeah, I middled it. It is what it is, and I would like to have seen it gone a different way. But
I certainly resent feeling as if I have to differently calibrate like my thumb, you know, because like that should certainly not have to be like the way it works. Like it was an okay match, and I don't want to make that like okay be good and bad be okay and then double bad be single bad. You know, like that's you know, that's how it would be. You know, we can all agree that would be the construction of it. Like it's a middle thumb match. If they would have been bold and also practical at the same time, is really what it would have been. Like they could have had a thumbs up match, but that's just not what they did. So bummer.
Yeah. All right. So then, did you thumb it, Robert?
Yep.
Okay, that's right. So then we have a promo with generic guy. I missed his name.
Sean Spears, the chairman of AEW.
There it is. Okay, well, he gave a somewhat boring promo, I thought.
I think that's pretty fair.
Maybe this is just a bad day for me.
I don't know that that's... I feel like with some of the frustrations that we're having, like a somewhat unimpressive man... Well, like at least in this like segment, getting time is why be more generous to that than you feel?
Yeah,
I feel like they put him with Tully because like he needed something, and it's not entirely clear what he needs, because like he's a good performer in the ring. His promos are fine, you know. There's certainly a lot worse talkers out there.
Sure.
And yeah, like giving him Tully sort of gives you a little way to shape him and sort of push him in a particular direction. Generally, I'm a fan, like a mild, like, yeah, he's okay. And I do like this pairing. I do want to see Sean Spears and Scorpio Sky go at it. I think they, like chemistry wise, I think they would match up, and like, I'm interested for this. And I thumbs this up just because I'm like, oh yeah, no. I want to see this thing continue. I want to see these matches. I want to see them get mad at each other and, you know, get increasingly into this feud. So like, just do it. Just do it now.
Okay.
I guess I'll just middle it because I did all I wrote down was Spears promo, so I don't know what else to why would I spruce that up?
Yeah, I mean, to me it's still somewhat generic, and you know, as we've mentioned, like, these dudes get all the time in the world to, like, try to build up a story, but they don't try at all with their female performers. And today, I guess I just had, like, especially after trying so hard to, like, see what the heels thing was all about and getting nowhere with that.
Bring him over the goals.
You know, and then just getting more and more frustrated, I'm seeing just these enormous pitfalls now where when I ignore the whole issue of female wrestlers, if I don't even think about it, then I'm like, oh, it's fine. This is great, blah, blah, blah. But now that I'm seeing how much time they do waste on a performer that so far has not impressed me, I walk away not even ever remembering his name. Ever do I remember his name. He's so generic white man to me that, you know, hey, that's, you could say that about a lot of performers, but for some reason, he's the only one that I mean, he's not the only one, but him especially. I've seen him enough times, and this was his very own promo. I should fucking remember his name, and I can't. So with that, it's just really frustrating that they don't try to do anything with other people. So whatever.
Fair enough.
Downing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Then we get the match of the night. We got Lance Archer versus Moxley. So Lance Archer walks out with this like helmet thing. What the fuck
crazy
is that helmet?
Boy. Crazy what and exciting outfit.
They were flirting with the thumbs down just from that alone.
Totally.
It looked weird, and even if it, you know, like presumably it's a biker thing, right, and like he's probably got a legitimate like badass Harley that he drives around and whatnot like that, and maybe he belongs to a gang, and like that's their, you know, their head attire.
Great. Oh, professor, tell me more.
Damn silly. I want no part of it. Never again.
Yeah.
Soon he's going to be running over Robert Stone with a child's tank toy.
When Moxley came out, it was nice to hear the audience cheer. And Moxley just like didn't even wait for the bell, didn't even wait for the ref, didn't even wait for anybody to get out of there. He just immediately went at Lance Archer with that paradigm shift and almost won right away.
That was fun.
It was fun. There were chairs involved. There were trash cans.
No legit gross trash though, which is, you know, unfortunate. Just a can.
Just the can. Who has metal cans anymore? You know what I mean?
Home Depot. And they continue to sell them because of professional wrestling.
But they probably crumple like nothing, am I right?
Indeed they do.
Well, you can turn them into a spino cylinder. Mm. Any Simpsons fans out there?
Oh, okay. No, I do remember that episode, yes.
Yeah. Well, this is a good match. It was what I expected.
Yeah. Mox rarely disappoints. Mm-hmm. He pulls out decent matches in just about any format. And I was into it.
Yeah, it was good. I thumbs it up. It was a good match. I don't like. It wasn't groundbreaking, but perhaps coming at the end of the show that it did, being serviceable, just made it feel better than it might have otherwise. But it was good.
Mm-hmm. Moxley wins, but Archer starts beating the shit out of him, and then Kingston, who was on mic on the comment desk, he and the Lucha Brothers come out to help, but then, you know, it seems like Kingston's like, oh man, you're cool, everything's cool. And of course he starts beating him up and then puts him in a sleeper hold and puts him to Betty by.
Yeah. I have, again, no interest in seeing Kingsley wrestle again. Especially not Mox, but I do like the sort of continuing through line of me and my family, you know, we got it in for you.
I never got eliminated. Like I could, you know, like I could hear that 10 trillion more times.
Yeah, that doesn't get old at all.
I feel like one of you is being sincere. I genuinely
like it. I like this about Britt Baker when she was like doing the conspiracy thing. I don't know. I like it when someone holds a single idea in their head for a long time. When there is like a long-term commitment to something, whether or not it builds, but that there's this thought, because I think a lot of people just sort of operate off of a thought, an idea. And I don't know, there's something about that I really respond to, that he, you know, like many people that we know, he has a grievance and he will fit it in. He will repeat it. He will never stop living by it. I don't know. I like that.
Yeah. That makes sense. I thumbed up the match.
I thumb it up as well.
Oh, I missed it. Okay. Yeah. And I did as well. So like that's that's a nice ending to the show. That being said, the show itself is a
70 what?
Wow.
Which is
75%,
which is very low for AEW standards, but is still in our worth watching rubric.
It definitely has a few enjoyable segments. I don't know if you'd have to watch every single bit of it, but you're probably going to enjoy more of it than not.
At least three quarters of it, if these thumbs have anything.
It's so non-specific. Yeah, definitely watch MJF any chance.
Absolutely.
I think we can agree on that.
My cat's having a nightmare.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Go out and tweet at AEW and tell them to give us a heels membership, or just let us give you $49 so that we can access heels.
I want them to give us a membership to something else that like we want. One of those meal services where they send you the stuff and you just follow the instructions.
Blooper reel
plan where everything like fucks up comically.
What it should be is a package of everything that they have commercials for.
Oh man.
So it's like we've got Pizza Hut. We've got Jimmy John's. We've got Subway. We've got, I don't even know what, some other fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know because I'm too busy watching more commercials inside the picture-in-picture commercials to know what's in the commercials that they're trying to sell me things of.
Of Cody Rhodes' talent show.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Coming soon, I think. I'm not real sure.
The Go Big Show.
Oh, was that with... Okay. Then I did see a commercial for that. Did not realize. Because, again,
Yeah, too busy well, you know, that's understandable. Yeah. I keep wondering when the Big Show is going to like file a lawsuit against the Go Big Show.
Oh,
that is a good question.
Oh man,
and a tale for another time. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Ah.